Welcome to episode
17
of WoW Geekly, a weekly podcast about the World of Warcraft with a streak of geek. This episode was recorded on
Wednesday,
the
5th
of
March,
2014. Please remain as you are and let your auditory receptors give a warm, geekly welcome to your hosts, Asheo and Jeppy.
Geekly episode 17. This is a podcast where a couple of loud and proud geeks chat about the wonderful World of Warcraft. With me, Shao, and our pommy mate, Jeppy. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Actually, I did see you at that Geek Pride event. That was quite cool.
Where was that?
In your binary flag.
Yes. It was on. It was off. It was on. It was off.
Meow. It's the Doppler effect.
Poor old Sheldon.
I feel sorry for the guy that played Sheldon because he was on Saturday Night Live this week. And it wasn't a good show.
No, that's no good. Did he,
although,
I've never actually seen him out of character. Was he like completely different?
No. Although they do an opening monologue with the guest host, and his song was "That's Not Me" when he's talking about the character he plays.
Okay.
But it
it's like evil Will Wheaton's not him either on that show.
No, it's not. But it's a shame because I kind of like Sheldon, and now I don't necessarily like the actor. You go, that's what happens.
Yes. Oh, well, maybe I'll steer clear of that then.
Probably best. Yeah. Although Saturday Night Live hasn't been funny since Eddie Murphy left, so.
It's been a while, mate. You're not too impressed.
Yeah. It's like 28 years. Occasional diamonds, but no, not this time.
Diamonds, eh? Diamonds like the number 17. What a beautiful, shiny number.
Is it though? Is it?
It is. It's pretty special. It's a lovely prime for a start.
You do love primes.
Oh, I do love my primes. So 17, hey, well, 17, apart from being prime, one of the things that I know about 17 is that if you pick, 8 random digits, there's not many, it's only 1 to 9. You pick any 8 and arrange them in any order, right, and replicate that and to create one big number. So, you know, very simplistically, say you took 8765432 1. So 8765432 1, 8765432 1, that big number there is divisible by 17.
Ew.
No idea why that is, but it just works out that way.
You are missing one number from the set every time. You know, every time you do that, you're taking out one number from the set. But it's only 8 instead of 9.
Yeah.
Or do you have 0 as well? Do you have the 0?
No, you don't use 0. Just 1 to 9. Well, actually, that's a good question.
That's a weird one.
Can you use 0? I'll have to go and test that later, see if it works out.
Oh, you got one job, mate. You could have done that before you came on.
Oh, I didn't think about it. It's never occurred to me.
Okay. Well, I know that many listeners are now going to be waiting with bated breath until you come back with that answer.
Well, I'll be sure to figure it out and put it in the post edit at the end with all our bloopers. It'll be there.
Bloopers. Yeah. That'd be funny. All our bloopers are unrepeatable, unfortunately.
Yeah.
They're either slanderous or incredibly offensive. So,
they're not very interesting because it's just a lot full of beeps.
Yeah.
Beep and beep and beep beep.
So last week we said 16, all those songs, 16, just a little bit pervy.
Yeah.
And if you ever listen to the Beatles song, I Saw Her Standing There, one of the lyrics is, she was just 17.
Yeah, just.
You know what I mean?
You know what I mean, eh?
Which in 63 when that came out, and 64 when it was on an album, that didn't sound so bad. But when 60-plus-year-old Paul McCartney sings it now,
it sounds a little bit creepy.
She was just 17, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, okay, Paul. So, yeah. So, we're not quite out of the pervy range yet. Yeah. Fortunately, we've got 18 coming up, so we're almost heading for street legal.
Thank goodness for 18. I won't feel so pervy.
I'm surprised that you're up and about, because we did control it well. We returned to our roots, as it were.
We did
control it well.
We begged April to take us back. She laughed at us and said, let's just do this one and we'll see how we go, eh?
Yeah, we've not heard from her since.
We haven't heard from her since, yeah, so.
Mainly because you were tanked. And if anybody wants to go back and listen to that control lot, well, I really think they should.
Should they?
See, we're talking about the evil Isheo, I think.
Maybe I should go back and listen. People keep talking about stuff that I said on Twitter, and I was like, oh, I have no idea. Did I? Yeah, well, awesome.
I only found out I was on the show.
It was a fun night.
For everybody else, yeah. It was good. It was good to be back, and laughs did ensue. Although you did rather, I'm trying to think of a nice word, mess up the English accent a wee bit. We're still not sure whether it was supposed to be Dick Van Dyke or Michael Caine or
I picture Pixie, her character as being English for some reason. I don't know. I think of Pixie and what's his name? The boy that never grows up?
Peter Pan.
So I kind of Justin picture Bieber, an English, you know, little Pixie and Peter Pan and
okay.
Yeah. That's the image that I get in my head.
There was method to
the utter madness there was.
But well worth a listen. I'm sure most people have already heard already heard it, but
for sure.
Well worth a listen. And we need to thank Cabernet Sauvignon for that particular
Margaret River. A very fine drop.
I saw the picture and I was like, 2010? That's not a vintage.
Mate, the wines are out here. You'd be lucky to not get a 2014.
Blimey, I was like, oh, jeez. Okay. 2010 is something you find at the back of the shelf and go, oh, I haven't had that yet. I've got Pepsis that are 2010.
Oh,
I'm sure it's very nice.
I don't think they go that long.
All the New World wines, lovely. Lovely New World wines.
Mm. And no corks. No corks on wine bottles in Australia anymore.
So you know you're dealing with class.
That's right.
When you can screw the cap off. I just heard about a million Frenchmen go, oh, sacrebleu.
Well, you don't get all crap in the bottom of your bottle anymore. It's great. Corks are rubbish. Yeah.
Don't get the corkage. Mm. Yeah.
Alrighty, well, let's get on with our podcast. As we mosey on into our 17th episode, there was one other thing. Did you know that 17 is what they classify as a cult number? In terms of
cult.
A cult number, which it's a number that has an unusually large number of fans. Not air conditioners. It's, like if you pick, and another one which we'll come up to in a couple of dozen episodes is 37. But if you get a whole bunch of people and say, tell me a random number between 1 and 20, a disproportionately larger number of people pick 17.
I do know the 37 one.
Yeah.
I've heard that before.
Mm, 17 is the same.
I wonder why that is.
Yeah.
So the problem with these things is that's... So, yeah.
She was just 17.
You know what I mean? Oh, jeez, Paul, put him down.
Who knows? It's a mystery. It's a mystery of the magic of numbers. So we had some news this week in WoW.
We did, Not as much as I was hoping for, to be honest.
The Thursday water cooler.
May have oversold that one.
I think there was a last second ditch effort to greatly undersell it, but it was too late.
Yeah. Don't be too excited. It's not going to be the patch notes.
Yeah. Oh, well.
It's a shame.
I mean, any information is good. It prompts discussion and gets people a bit excited about what's coming.
It was more clarification, I guess.
Mm.
And I think what we fail to understand sometimes is that not everybody is glued to the Blues.
Yeah.
And that we're not, you know, we assume, wrongly in most occasions, that people are aware of what's going on in the background. But actually they're not. Until there's a major post or a blog post or something that will affect them directly. In fact, I would say the vast majority of players have no real idea about what's coming in the expansion until the expansion hits. And they're like, oh. Maybe a passing understanding of what's happening, but no, certainly not like we are, where we're watching every blue post and you know, going through MMO Champion with a fine tooth comb and looking at stuff that's been, you know, data mined. It's just not the average player. And why would it be? I mean, what?
Probably just as well. Otherwise, you know, they'd have an extra 7 million people crying in horror that their Blood Elves arcane torrent doesn't do a silence anymore.
I know. I'm so close to quitting. So close.
That's it. I'm race changing all my Blood Elves to goblins.
Oh, jeez. No, I'm not going to go that far. Actually, we've not seen the Blood Elf model yet, have we? So
no.
I'm not sure how they're going to make it any more pretty than it already is.
Yeah, I think they need to uglify it, because I think too many people pick it because it's pretty.
Why you uglify my Toon Man? It's not good. Mm. Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine also the fact that, as far as I know, and this was talked about BlizzCon, there's not going to be any race change, or there's not going to be any remodeling of your character, at least in a, you know, for free. It's going to be, this is what it looks like.
Yeah. This is how you're born.
You pay if you want.
Yeah. You want to pay for plastic surgery, then go for it.
Yeah. So. But what the dev water cooler, I mean, it was more philosophical. Was it philosophical? Is that a word? It's more the philosophy behind what's going on.
Good explanation of it.
Yeah.
What really kind of mystified me was why they then... I mean, it was great that they're interacting with the community. Don't get me wrong. You know, I love that. No, yes, it's great following Twitter conversations and seeing live feedback and stuff. But, you know, people started asking specifics and they got answered in Twitter. And that was like the first place that anybody saw the answers to what was actually happening to the racials. And it's like, that's it just feels
it's
really
very
weird.
Hard to follow.
It was very hard to follow. And, you know, good on them. Subsequently, some other posts have come out that nicely summarised it. But, a bit odd way to do it, but, you know, I guess...
Felt a bit messy. Felt just a bit sort of... half-assed a little bit. But it was, I mean, there's two sides of it, I guess. You want to include people. I don't think Twitter's the right place to do it. You know, do something out. Do it like one of those Ask Me Anything
type
things.
Live Q&A things.
Yeah. And where you can see the answers and the questions. So what they were doing it where even if you didn't follow the particular person who asked the question, you could see, you know, they were dotting their tweet.
Mm.
You still had to go back and look at the question. It was a bit messy.
Maybe they're sponsored. Maybe they're sponsored by Twitter. You think maybe that's the...
Sponsored by Twitter, because Turtle Seed is on the horizon.
There we go. The only reason I sign up for these new things that come out all the time is just to get my name so that nobody else grabs it and starts impersonating.
That's what I did.
Because I'd be in the top 10 list of people that, you know, globally would want to be impersonated. So I've really got a lot to worry about. Mm.
You've actually got one of the blue ticks on me, or like your name's.
I'm certified. Yeah,
certified.
I need to be certified.
We got there. Weirdly, it was called "Pruning the Garden of War," which sounds like a 60s protest song, as opposed to a dev water cooler. But obviously, the big thing coming out of that was confirmation of the stat squish.
Yep.
And attacking the
numbers.
Ability bloat. loads of crowd control removals. Loads of crowd control removals.
No one uses crowd. I like crowd control, but no one uses them anymore. You use them in the first 2 months of the expansion when, you know, people are struggling to kill stuff, and then after that, nah. You know. So what's the point of having crowd control for 2 months over 2 years of an expansion?
Yeah, I guess. It does. I tweeted that I'm glad that they're removing lots of crowd control so I don't feel so guilty about not using it.
Exactly.
I'm like, oh, I don't know. Hunter! Hunter! Control! Well, I don't know. It's not my bar.
I've got to have hunter traps on my bars. That doesn't do any DPS.
Supposedly hunter traps are going to have some... They're going to arm automatically or something. Or, I don't know. But I think this would be quite cool in PvP. Because a couple of days ago I was watching somebody's Twitch feed and they were PvPing two twos, I think, and then they went up to some threes. And the amount of crowd control, stun lock. Oh, it's tedious. It really is. The characters hardly ever move. They very rarely get a shot off. And it's like, it's just stop, start. And I know that gives a certain amount of talent, but it's the talent of the player to know when to do the stun lock and to then have his partner ready to, you know, load on some DPS at that stage. And, you know, there's all sorts of skills involved.
There is skills, but
as a viewer, it was like, oh, God, really? Stun lock, lock, CC, ice block, oh, God, jeez. Boring stuff. And I think going into PvP, into Battlegrounds, when these reductions are made, it's going to be a lot better.
Well, they've been reducing all the time. They're forever reducing how long things last in PvP.
Yeah. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. I don't really have the knowledge of raiding to know how it's going to affect raiding, but you say
it seems not a lot of CC done in raids anymore, mate. So there was eventually... a nice summary of the changes that's happening to all the racials, and there's a link to that in the show notes. And there's some interesting ones.
Weird ones.
What piques your interest there, mate?
Some mechanics that they've not really done before. Normally you get your racials, and because they're racials, they stick with you forevermore, and they don't really change any. The weirdest one... Well, there's two weird ones. There's the Night Elf one, which changes depending upon whether it's nighttime or whether it's daytime.
Yeah.
So at night it's 1% haste, and during the day it's 1% critical strike.
That's right. So it's off to Mr. Robot to go, oh, all right, what do I have to reforge? Because I'm raiding during the day now, and so I've got more.
Of course,
more,
the good thing is there'll be no reforging.
How do I get more haste?
Crazy. I mean, and also it has to question what's day and night. You sat there in Australia on an American server, you're like, it's dark outside. What? I don't understand. So that seems very odd.
And what about those trinkets you can get where you make it dusk?
Exactly. So it's all about, I know, see, night, and they're kind of being a bit more lore. Idea, because I know night elves are supposed to be more powerful at night, hence they're called night elves and not day elves. So there is that from a lore point of view, but it doesn't seem to be a very smart thing to do as a racial, as something that affects, you know, 1%, and 1% doesn't seem like a heck of a lot, but it's actually quite a chunk, isn't it? Critical strike. So, I don't know. That's an odd one. But then you think, well, that's really odd. Then you come along to the human one, and they used to have the human spirit. It used to increase spirit by 3%, which of course was completely useless. Now it says you can choose which two secondary stats it increases.
At birth, maybe your mother and your father choose how your human spirit's going to behave
during the ceremony. Yeah. But of course,
cut the cord. Pick a couple of secondary stats.
So, you know, I'm visualizing sort of the character creation screen and along with all the, you know, skin color and piercings and all the other bits and bobs. Choose your two stats, but, you know, which is all well and good. But I'm sure people are going to say, well, it would be nice to be able to change them at a later date. I'm not 100% sure what's going to be useful.
Yeah.
So it's all a bit messy. I don't know about that. And to have that just humans where just humans have this weird choice to make. I don't know.
Yeah, it says Rachel, in the notes. Rachel doesn't seem to me to be something that you should have a choice in.
No, mm-hmm. That's right. We're always told that race is not a choice. Yeah. And it says here, this has not yet been implemented. I bet it hasn't. Because there's some poor programmer going, what?
How are we going to do that?
What? We can't do that. There's not the bucket for that data. So I don't know. Yeah. It's a bit weird.
The bits, I've only got 4 bits that I can toggle on and off for the racials, yeah. And that's the only code there is.
The girl's going to have to lose the piercings. That's all I can do. I'm sorry. Everybody's going to have to be an off-white. I can't do a skin colour of this now. Well done. It's crazy. But there's a few of them that are weird. Trolls were famous for being good hunters because their beast slaying was, you know, they could slay beasts better.
Yep.
But now they're going to get an XP boost from killing beasts.
Alrighty.
20%. Which is a chunk.
I'll just be at killing boars, mate. Killing boars to 90.
That's right. Oh, bloody well. South Park this bitch. which is all well and good, but, you know, and actually I quite like the idea of a 20% boost in killing beasts. Because as you say, if you've got a bit of spare time, go to wherever you happen to be level-wise and kill everything because that's a chunk of change.
Mm.
But at the same time...
Every troll is going to be a skinner now.
Every troll is going to be a skinner, but then every 100 troll is going to be an orc. Because as soon as you've got your XP, and it doesn't say if this lasts all the way through to leveling to the top level, cap, whatever, although I imagine it would have to. But there's a few of these where, well, once you've got to a certain stage, it's no longer relevant. There's no point having 20% boost to XP when you're capped.
No.
Doesn't make sense. So yeah. I might as well go ahead and go to another one, which will help me in the end game. So I don't know.
Race change at 100?
Exactly.
It's all driven by marketing, mate.
Yeah, the people in the accounts are going, okay, so we're going to have 20,000 trolls. They're going to hit 100 about 12 days out of the expansion. And that'll be 20,000 race changes. No, but I don't know. Some of these are very odd. Very, very odd.
It'll all come out in the wash.
I imagine so. And I guess with all these things, because although they've done it in a blue post and they've broken it down, you do hope that there are some things that are yet to be set in stone.
Yeah. We've had to think about this and, nah.
But there are a few, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Do you actually choose based upon the racials?
No. I really don't.
I don't really know.
I think maybe 5% of the time, you know, I might give it some serious thought, but mostly it's about the, you know, what starting area experience do I want?
Yeah.
Which one am I sick of that I'm not going to do it again?
Yeah. I mean, I know that when Draenei came out and you got that 1% for the entire group, that was quite big. That was like a worth having, but not when you were leveling. You're like, okay. Hmm. I don't really care what the group's getting. No, I do the same. I don't choose based upon any sort of racials. I have to say, I would, in the early days, take a human over any other race because of the reputation gain. But because there's so many ways to boost reputation now, there's not... Yeah. It's not important.
Yeah. I mean, rough. It's very difficult for them to find unique and interesting things that you know, aren't really a game changer. They can't have something that's, you know, obviously a lot more powerful than any other race, then everyone's just going to pick that one.
Yeah.
So, don't envy them.
Yeah, because although the argument could be made that do they need to balance the race? They need to balance the class.
Hmm.
But does it matter if there's 50% more humans than there are, you know, really?
True.
Although I suppose from the point of view of somebody who wants to make a choice, it is annoying. It was annoying as a hunter to say, well, I'm actually giving up stuff by not going troll.
Right.
So you kind of, and I don't, I have a, I dislike playing trolls. I'll be honest. I'll put it out on the table. I don't like them.
Gee whiz, mate.
I don't like them. They're obviously a chiropractor's dream. They don't stand straight. You know?
Is that why you don't like the slouchers?
I don't like the slouchers. Chiropractors, they're going to make millions for chiropractors and dentists. You know, and it's just ridiculous. So I don't play trolls. But at the same time, every time I chose a hunter, and I chose a hunter more times than not, I go ahead and say, no, I'm not going to do troll.
You're not a role player. Obviously, trolls are the easiest one to role play.
Because you just add mod.
That's it. That's mod fear.
Who does that? Blood, who does that?
Bloody Lock.
Bloody Lock, AI, yeah. It's hard to keep up with that. I admire him for his dedication to his RP.
That's it.
But no. So, hopefully, when are these things fixed in stone? I had a discussion on Twitter.
Day after release, mate.
Yeah, until it's live, I don't think you can say anything. But I had a discussion on Twitter about the veterans bonus. As we're aware that if you have a level 60 who you boost to 90 during the either the free one you get of your expansion or else the 90 boost paid for,
yep,
you get their professions also boosted to 600 to the top level 90 cap. And the question was, well, is that just primary specializations?
It's a very good question.
For some reason, would I want to do archaeology?
Where's my 600 first aid?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because there are videos of the UI in 5.4, in the 5.4.7 PTR. Lots of people the boost was available during that. It was actually available in the PTR. And the UI clearly shows it's primary. It says primary professions.
Right.
And then it goes onto another screen once you've done the boost and it says 600 mining, 600 engineering, whatever your primaries were, 600 first aid. So looking at that, it does boost first aid. And actually that fits in because that's what used to happen with the Death Knight as well. Don't know if you remember, if you did a Death Knight, you got like 270 first aid.
Yeah, I do remember something vaguely with that.
Yeah, so it kind of fits in with that because I guess first aid is not the sort of thing you go back and necessarily do.
Yeah, you don't have to go out and be grinding linen cloth to level your first aid.
Although it would be quite cool if they never gave you that and you did have that massive sales in the auction house. I've got tons of linen cloth and wool.
Yeah, but I can't see them giving you archaeology and fishing.
Oh, no.
Because they're a big time sink and, you know, they don't want to remove all, they want you to be able to play the game, but they're not going to remove time sinks.
So, yeah. And I kind of said this. I said, you know, it's saying in the UI for the PTR, these are primary professions. Oh, well, that's not live though, is it? No, nothing's live. You can't argue. Don't ask the question. Is it just primary professions? At the moment, yes, it's primary professions. I can't tell you what's going to happen. You know, I can.
I guarantee you 100% you will not get 600 archaeology.
Oh, you're putting that down, are you?
I'm putting it on the board. Are we allowed to steal that?
We might as well.
Sticking it on the post-it note.
Bitter and salty. Where are you, bitter and salty? Or your silliness. Stop messing about and come back. Don't know where they've been. Disappeared.
They've been out fairly consistently. Although they haven't...
Two weeks. No show.
They haven't done their 30 weeks of World of Warcraft, Warlords of Draenor for a bit now.
No, I don't know what's happening.
I think they might have jumped the gun on that a bit. A bit hard to come up with... come up with answers and discussion points for things that nobody knows anything about.
You're going to need a good slap. Very naughty boys. But what else? What else was there in this dev water cooler?
Realm firsts.
What did they do?
Tell me about realm firsts.
Well, that wasn't in the water cooler itself, but it was mentioned that there will be no realm first, whatever, you know, panda monk or...
Hmm.
Everybody's like, okay, I guess with the CRZ and I suppose that's not really... We already have discussed how realms aren't really realms anymore.
Yeah.
It's amorphous blob that sits in the middle somewhere. But then they were questioned, they said, well, what about professions?
Ooh.
No. They're gone as well.
Yeah.
Oh, did that cause a bit of a fuss among the fishermen of the world. But the,
what about the answer, world first? Yeah. Are they still world firsts? Did anybody ask that?
No, no round first, no world first.
No world firsts. Oh, now I'm really up in arms.
Well,
I was in with a chance. Not.
Nah, you won't. The answer to why there are no realm or world first professions was quite interesting. He said they don't integrate well with profession changes. So that's interesting. Does that mean they're going to be several gates?
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be gated to a point where it's not possible to steamroll it like it's been done previously.
It does sound like that, doesn't it? And obviously that sparked quite a lot of speculation. And I should point out here, I've looked at various different people who are blogging at the moment and making videos and stuff. And anyone who thinks that at this time, in the end of an expansion and us rapidly approaching a new expansion, there's not going to be any speculation, clearly hasn't played video games for very long.
It's what we do. It's what we do is speculate.
If we couldn't speculate, basically we wouldn't do a show between now and when Warlords came out.
Nah.
Because the vast majority of it is speculation. Yeah. You know,
so we have chat about what we reckon might happen. What's going to happen, lad?
And there's nothing wrong with speculation. And also I saw people talking about there's no point preparing. As a gold maker, for instance, there's no point preparing working your way through things that you may need because you don't know. But that's the half the fun. Half the fun is betting on which way things will go.
Yeah.
And if you're somebody who's got your ear to the ground, you may well get a lead on other people who perhaps didn't get hold of things or missed certain bits of information.
That's right.
And that's the joy of it. That's the joy of hitting a new expansion and thinking to yourself, yes,
I've got eight banks chock full of block of ghost iron ore. Yes.
Exactly.
Oh, they changed the last minute and we don't need any of it.
It was like when they changed inks.
Yeah.
There was a point where it was quite a quick change, wasn't it? It was like, wait, what? No. You know, you've been spending hours and hours and hours churning through making new inks and suddenly they went, nah, you can just buy this one now.
She'd be right.
No. But that's the fun of it. The fun of it is, you know, so people who complain about that, I don't think understand the gamer's mind. No realm first, no professions. Nobody's going to be rushing to fishing. They do say, you know, some of the argument has been, we want you to concentrate on the leveling. We don't want you just busting out a team of five to go and get all the skin. And, you know, we don't.
People can do that anyway.
I don't know if it's that, but people will do that anyway. That's right. So even if they don't necessarily get a big tick, they want to be the first tailor or level worker because they can corner the market for a wee while.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, there's reasons to do it rather than just the plaudits of a realm first. It's not just for that. So the people are still going to bust the gut. People are still going to be playing 28 hours in the first few days. You know, people are still going to do that regardless of whether they get a tick.
Because it's an achievement and you get a little ding and it's a good feeling to reach a goal and people are going to do it regardless. So doesn't matter.
And I imagine there'll be some guilds that will take note. You know, you do know in your guild who's the first level to 100. You know, there's still notoriety involved. So you're certainly not going to stop the nutters, which is
the first to max out alchemy and be selling the transmute cooldown.
Yeah, you're never going to stop the whinging. So they did go on more about the squishing, the talent squishing. And when they say things, what the Blizzard seem to be doing now is they seem to be answering the return argument in their original blog post. So when you see things like, we'll be removing 20% off the spells.
Yep.
It says, this is not dumbing down. And then it goes on to explain why it's not dumbing down. But they answer, because the first thing that's going to happen, the very first reply to that post is going, this is dumbing down. You're making it easy for new players. It's all right. And they try and answer that now before they even get questioned with it.
Oh, that's good.
But
I think that is a risk that is going to be what the perceived nature of it is, even though it's clutter. I mean, there's just so many spells now that, we want new and interesting ones, and you need somewhere to put them. So, something's got to change.
Yeah.
If they didn't and just left it all the same, then it'll be complaining, everyone would be complaining, none of the spells changed enough. Yeah. What's this useless one I'll never use anymore? Why didn't that go? Yeah.
And so far, they've not made any comment as to which ones are going. They've talked about the philosophy of what they'll remove. And like we said last week, a lot of it is this one is always used in conjunction with this one, so let's just switch them together and nobody should be any more the problem. Of course, the ongoing, why are you making me less powerful debate continues with the squish, the zeros, removing all the zeros. And I would imagine, come when Warlords hits, some canny add-on developer will just do an add-on that adds a load of zero on the end of your spell and your DPS.
Oh, let's reserve some add-on names now, mate. What do we got? Number bloke?
Number bloke.
Yeah. Biggins?
Tiny penis mollifier? there's all sorts. But it seems to me that it's a very simple thing. There's no, if the mob is got 50 health and you've got 50 health as opposed to 50,000, you've lost nothing.
Yeah.
But they can't see, and I there's part of me that can kind of say that the idea of big numbers is very impressive to people. There's nothing like saying, I just quit that dude for a million. These numbers are cool.
Sure.
But I think, we'll
get used to it. I mean, all that's really important is if you run up to a mob and start whacking on it, you want to be able to kill it about the same amount of time, that it takes at the moment, and all that's going to stay the same. So as long as it's all relative, I think people will get over it really quickly.
Yeah, I mean, there was part of me thinking, well, maybe to save this never having to happen again, you do percentages. Mm. You don't worry about. The logistics of that would be relatively nightmarish, but.
I won't work for a lot of things, I would think.
No, because nothing stays static. The health of the mob can go up and down depending on trinkets and stuff. So.
Yeah, I mean, the problem what they've got is, that there always needs to be a big leap in numbers with an expansion because people expect to be so much more powerful.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think they've said quite clearly, I remember seeing a blue post that basically said, this is bound to have happened over time.
Yeah.
And we will revisit this idea of removing, of squishing again.
Just remember,
it took us 10 years this time.
Yeah.
So there's no worry it's going to happen in the near future. It's taken us 10 years to get to the stage where the numbers have got out of control. And that's fair enough. But as you say, a lot of this will be 2 days into the expansion, people will be like, I can't even remember what the argument was about.
Yeah. But a lot of the reason, I'm sure that they didn't do it as well is because it takes development effort, which takes time away from people writing content.
Yeah,
and they've felt that they've had to do it this time around, and so now they've written the code that's effectively going to do that squish, and so the next time they have to do it, it's not going to be as painful.
Yeah, and they've always said that they want to get these expansions out quicker, that maybe on a yearly type cycle,
mm-hmm.
and you do see a lot of the things that they are doing are to streamline that whole process.
Yeah.
And that because they've grown organically and not necessarily had that growth controlled, they've just done what you just said, that they've just said, okay, we've got a new expansion, we're going to go up 20%, or we're going to add 10 new spells, or we've got this many more, traits that need to be added on. And because of that, it's just got a bit out of control. And I think you can see a lot of their movement is towards this sort of streamlining and making things that much more smoother so that they can just add the proper content, the actual world stuff onto the top of it and it all works, as opposed to having to fiddle with it all the time.
Sure.
So that's pretty cool. I mean,
can't imagine that we will ever get to a point where they have a new expansion every year. That feels too often to me, and it would have to be associated with a change in the payment model, because people aren't going to be willing to fork out money for a new expansion every year.
Yeah, I mean, other games do that though. I mean, EverQuest is banging out expansions, you know, two every year, and expecting people to pay. Yeah, I know what you mean though, because we're used to an expansion pretty much every 2 years, or maybe even a wee bit longer.
And having a lot of content in it, and, you know, getting free patches until the next expansion.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
Does EverQuest do free additional content patches in between expansions?
Yeah, they add dungeons and stuff and do all bits and pieces, tiny bits. And normally their expansion is a new chunk of the world, as opposed to, I mean, it's geographic expansion.
Yeah.
As you know, and found
another island.
It's amazing. I don't know. We should really send out somebody to get a map because these islands are popping up from the mist all the time. But the idea of what is an expansion and what is a patch. I mean, you'd be surprised how many people think, which I've yet to work out, that this is not an expansion. Of course it's an expansion. I don't see any question about that. It's it shouldn't be a box expansion.
Whole new storyline, massive changes to how the classes work, whole new zones.
But you look at it and people are weird about that. And I guess the fact that they are now going to have to pay something extra. Again, we don't know what that price is going to be. I saw a blue post. One thing that did get confirmed via the blues this week was the $60 boost price. Because one of the blues, at least it's kind of semi-confirmed, one of the blues went on to explain why the $60 price. And the explanation was basically we still want leveling to be relevant.
Yes.
And to argue the case that a lot of people were saying, well, this is just a money grab. This is just making a money grab. And the guy said, well, if we were going to make a money grab, we'd have charged $12 or $10 or $15 because we'd have sold millions of them.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and that was quite a good argument. But at the same time, he also said that it was comparative to the cost of the box, which from what I remember, $60 is not going to be the cost of the box, is it? Wouldn't they like $39.95 or something? Or
I mean, I've bought the collector's edition, so and in Australia, apparently, it costs millions to send a CD to Australia.
Change the language.
So it's not unusual for us to pay $100 for a game here.
See, what you don't understand is that they've got to change, because in the rest of the world it's expansion, but in Australia it's expano. it's the expano, boys. So you've got to change all that. It's very hard.
And biggin. Here's your game and bigginer.
We're going all over the place, and I apologize to the listeners who are trying to keep up. We don't go over this. I wanted to buy D3, the new D3. Reaper of Souls.
It's not free, mate. You got to pay for it.
Hang on. Brilliant. Is that you? D the third. And I wanted to buy Reaper of Souls. And I don't know how much I'm going to play it, but the collector's edition has a special pet for WoW.
You just want the pet.
I just wanted the pet. So I go on to the EU shop and they want, what do they want? 49 quid or something, which comes down to about $60 or maybe more, $65. You go on to the US, $39. What? I'd love to see their accountant who's doing that little currency exchange. I bought it on the American store. Sod that. I got me little treasure goblin. That's all by the by.
Mm.
So I think that's, is that the, I think, is that the water cooler?
I think that's our water cooler news, blues and views corner there, mate. It's more like a large part of the pie.
Yeah. So we are expecting more water coolers.
Yes.
Probably shortly after this show goes live.
Probably. All right, after we put it out. If they do a Thursday water cooler, we'll probably get this out on Thursday and, yeah, we'll scrap it and start again.
Yeah. We have said that as we roll forward and hopefully the news becomes a bit more chunkier and a bit more meat than potatoes, we will, if necessary, bang out a 10-15 minute episode just to cover breaking news. Dun, 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 now, whether we'll do it together or we'll do it individually, I don't know. See how it goes, but it's, yeah,
it's the aim. It's good to have aims. It's good to have goals, mate.
Yeah, I mean, we did think about doing one, especially for the water cooler, but we were like, "Oh, really? Okay, no, that can wait."
Yes.
We'll see how it goes. If there's suddenly massive breaking news, free to play, we might do that especially. We might do a special.
So, speaking of breaking news, what's the goss in terms of a replacement for Project Madonna?
Oh, Fallen Madonna, as it's now known.
FM.
They could stand for lots of things. You know, I've put in the show notes under my section, usual angst-filled bullshit. Because I'm not sure if people enjoy these little stress sessions. These little psychiatry sessions that I go on to. Not sure, but I'm going to go and do it.
You know what's funny? I have the word angst in my show notes as well.
Oh, no. It's going to be great. As people may remember from last week's show, I had spoken via the chat to Blizzard CMs, and I also had a little poke on the old forums to see if they would remove these hideous, hideous frozen accounts on my main Battle.net.
Yeah.
Therefore, giving me the freedom to explore new horizons. They said, no, we're not going to do that. They did give me the opportunity to perhaps pretend that it was a child account, but they required so much information that I didn't have to hand that that was then impossible. So I thought, you know, what I haven't tried is a ticket. I'll put a ticket in. I've tried every other avenue.
Yeah.
They said, I can't imagine it's not the same person, but still. I'll put a ticket in.
You just see this one dude rolling his eyes. He's like, oh, God, he's trying to pull one past me.
And they, you know, they were kind of, the ticket came back was like under usual. First of all, I complained in the ticket about the miscommunication.
Yeah.
In as much as that one told me one thing and the other one told the other. So I kind of gave the impression that I had an axe to grind as opposed to that I was an And
as opposed to, I just need to fix my OCD.
Yeah, I did. I tried not to mention any psychological breaking. And the ticket came back saying, okay, look, you'd almost hear the sighs. It was written, but you could almost hear the sighs. It said, yes, okay, we'll do it, but you need to send us in proof of identity, which was quite similar to what I would have had to do if I'd said it was a children's account. But it was only my identity they wanted. So, and I've never seen it. I never had this happen before. That I was transferring, obviously, from one Battle.net, which was completely the same information as the other Battle.net. It was obviously both my Battle.nets. Not only was it both my Battle.nets, but it's got my credit card on both. Yeah. This is my Battle.net. There's no doubt about it. But they said, and I think they did that to sort of say, oh, well, he won't do it. But I did. I dug out my passport and I spent about an hour trying to get a good photo of it. With the flash and the light. It was so hideous. But eventually I sent it to them. And Blizzard said yes.
Wow.
And they did it there and then. And he disappeared. I looked at like literally minutes later, he's gone. Those two hideous frozen accounts. Gone.
Lovely. Gotta love it.
So I can't complain. So then I was left with four glorious slots to fill.
Oh. Be careful. Be very careful.
I've done it, mate. I've already wrapped them up. Well, I'm like, yeah, almost instantly I did it. I've got two new rafts I've got a chain, one of my main accounts to one, and then one to the other. So I've got the old cascade working. I've already created a couple of characters, Jepski and Pepski.
Oh, yeah. I did see them online last night.
Yeah. Already level 10. Hunters.
Oh, of course.
And this project's going to be Hunters.
Oh, original.
And Warlocks.
Ah, okay.
Nothing but Hunters and Warlocks. I don't know yet. I might do that. I might do some mages, but I have got past the stage where I necessarily want one of every class or 10 of every class.
You've done that. It's been there, done that.
I want characters which I'm going to enjoy playing.
Yeah. You want the Pets R Us division.
Yeah. So I'm going to create these characters, hopefully, with the idea of them becoming profession carriers in the future.
Okay.
Now, how the boost fits into that, you know, which accounts get boosted or which accounts get warlords in the first run, I don't know. I mean, it would be incredibly expensive business to try and put warlords on all the accounts. I don't think I'd be doing that by any stretch. But until we really know what's happening with professions and we know what sort of gates we're going to have to jump through, there's no point me working on the idea of having a particular class as a profession if that class is then unable to make its way easily through the gating system.
Sure.
If they're unable to potentially kill multiple mobs, if there's some sort of thing that has to drop and be soulbound.
It's an interesting question, actually. Will they let you buy a character boost for an account that does not have warlords on it?
That is an interesting question. Because as you've said quite clearly, they won't want to release the ability to pre-order your copy after they've done the boost, because that would make no sense.
Yeah.
But whether you can do one without the other, and you kind of think that it would be no skin of their nose if you could.
So you could boost a tune that's just licensed for MOP up to 90 and leave it there?
Well, you get no bonus. You get nothing that you couldn't get in game anyway.
True.
In MOP anyway.
Mm.
And also, they are going to have, and although they've not said anything, we're assuming that you can buy as many boosts as you want. That it's not one free one and one boost per account.
Yeah. Why would they limit you?
Yeah, why would they limit
you? As long as you got hold of Daddy's credit card, then who cares?
Yeah. Because another question that came up was, well, are they going to, it might be worthwhile, even if you've got a 90, boosting it if you're going to get 600 professions. Because that's, some people would consider that the major time sink. Leveling the character wasn't hard. And because it was so fast, it wasn't possible.
It's not time sink. It's a lot of people can't afford it. People don't have the gold that it takes to level professions.
And looking at the 5.4.7 PTR, it didn't seem to distinguish between any level of character. The guy there were several videos showing it in action. And although he didn't actually try it, the potential to boost a character didn't seem to be switched off for a 90.
Okay. So you could take your 89 and go, oh, I couldn't be bothered leveling this anymore. I'm going to boost it to 90.
Yeah. You could do. I mean, you probably need to be shot in the head if you did, but yeah. Yeah. I don't think they are going to put too much restriction on that.
No.
But I think your question is interesting. I think they will. I think they don't, whether you boost prior to you getting your, and there's going to be people who are going to be buying the box, the actual box, who aren't necessarily wanting to do the digital thing.
Yep.
And they may want to boost before it all kicks off. I'm not sure what advantage that would give you necessarily, but
yeah. I think buying the box is, it's only for the, the only reason that they're making the box now is to keep the, your GameStop and EB Games and all those kind of people happy that they can actually make a buck out of it.
Yeah. Although you do get a few extra bonus
editions where you actually get physical stuff in the box. Yeah. I don't see the point in actually going down to the shops and buying a game anymore.
You want that mouse, Matt, and you want that art book.
That's it.
The collector's edition, yeah. And I imagine they'll sell those individually in the store as well. So,
no, that's a good point.
It delivered.
Yeah. And just get the digital deluxe for the pet, Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, which we should have mentioned, by the way. If you want to get the digital deluxe edition of Mop of Mists, you need to get it now.
Do it now.
10th of March. It's no sooner than 10th of March, you'll disappear. Now, I know we've moved into our sort of week, but I should cover this a little bit. One of the reasons I thought that was because whenever you log into your account on the Battle.net, does it not say to you that you've got 3 or 4 accounts? Well, maybe it doesn't say to you, but it does to me. It says you've got 3 or 4 accounts that haven't got the digital deluxe edition of MOP. Do you want to upgrade them? That's the first screen I always get.
So you think maybe the webman's getting sick of that and he wants to be able to take it away?
Well, what I'm thinking is that in a week or so, after the 10th of March, it's going to say, do you want to upgrade to Warlords?
Up there for thinking, mate. There you go.
And it can't do both. So I think if you've got the Warlords
expansion. So the first Tuesday after the 10th of March, you'll be able to pre-order the Warlords expansion.
Yeah. I saw there's one of the things, of course, this is also another Blizzard money grab. And I did make a bet that how many people would end up using the terms Flappy Bird. They're Flappy Birding this. They're making it seem like it's going to go away forever, and if you don't get it now, you're never going to get it.
Yeah, because it was worded weird. It's like it's going to be, you know, digital deluxe is going away, you know, maybe temporarily. Or I don't see why you'd bring it back. So.
No. If in the dying embers of an expansion you still haven't got the digital deluxe, I get the feeling that you perhaps never meant to. It's not like you were hanging on.
Well, I mean, maybe. Yes. Oh, so it's 3 months left in the expansion. What am I going to do? Maybe I should do a refer a friend and upgrade one of these old accounts.
Yeah.
It's always the exceptions.
So if you haven't got it and you want it, if you want the particular ugly pets that came with it and the ugly mount, then by all means, grab it now before it comes back. Anyway, I talked about my angst. How about your own angst, Mr. Sheriff?
Oh, my angst. My angst consists of trying to play a rogue. And I was hummed and hawed a lot about how I was going to level him. And thought, oh, I'll do a bit of questing out in the world. I'll try and level. I took herbing and mining. I thought I'd try and level those up, and I'll do some dungeons. Well, I absolutely hate doing dungeons on a rogue. You know, in particular, pugs. I guess because all I've done on them is pugs, because all I do. It's just spend my time chasing the tank and waiting for my energy to replenish.
Come back.
Because the tank never stops. The tank just goes and aggroes some trash and keeps running. And I'm like, I can't hit anything. As soon as I catch up to him and start hitting stuff, he's off again.
Yeah.
It's the worst experience ever.
Yeah. I've seen those constantly. Because what they want to do is they want the tank to wait a few seconds while they can position themselves.
Yeah.
Because you have to be behind the freaker.
Yeah. Stealth, whack, whack. Get some DPS. Help get them down. But I don't know, maybe at higher levels where it takes a bit longer than 3 seconds to kill trash and you start killing a boss and then he's off again before the boss is even dead. It was the same every time. I've run like half a dozen dungeons now, and it was the same every time. It was just go, go, go. I felt sorry for the healer trying to keep up as well, but I never really noticed it as a ranged DPS, but as a melee, don't like it at all. I don't like it.
Even as a warrior, at least you've got that.
See, zoom in. When I was a warrior and I had that, I was a tanking or I was charging, bam, I was in there and swinging, I could keep up. Yeah. You know, with a rogue, I mean, if they killed the trash and I got out of combat, you know, then I could stealth and dash and stuff. But I'm in combat the whole time because they never stop. Yeah. So yeah, that don't like that. But so I started doing herbing and mining. Thought I'll just level herbing and mining, and you know, when I get up to a high level, I'll drop one of them and pick up an actual real profession.
Proper profession.
Proper one. Yeah.
Is he just gathering one?
And what I very quickly found is running, as you do before 20, and riding. You're mainly riding along paths, and you're seeing a lot of herbs that are just like on the side of the road. Whereas the mines are like off the road, up in the hills, off the beaten track. And so mining quickly fell behind. And of course, when you're zooming through zone after zone as quests become green and grey, then you know, you don't want to be sticking around just looking for mining nodes to get your mining up high enough so that when you move to that next zone, you can actually mine stuff. So the bugger this for a game of soldiers, I'll drop mining and I'll pick up herbalism, because you can never have too many alchemists. Alchemy, rather. You can never have too many alchemies. And then it goes
well with the old herbalism.
It does. It does. It goes perfectly well. But then I thought, I had the whole angst that you had, mate. I'm like, do I just level herbalism and send it to a level 90 that I haven't done professions on, and they can power level alchemy and I'll have an alchemist? Or do I level alchemy with herbalism and, you know, keep them in step and do it that way? Or am I not going to be leveling fast enough and I want a higher alchemy? It's like, I just sat there stunned trying to figure out what to do and, you know, got angry at myself for being the king of procrastination.
Oh dear.
But in the end, I decided my rogue is going to level herbalism and alchemy together. And so it started off that I was having to stay in lower zones in order to pick enough herbs to get my alchemy up.
Yeah.
Was kind of the first range that I fell into in, you know, around the 20 mark. And then around the 30 mark, it was kind of okay. You know, I'm in the right sort of zone. I'm picking herbs that are, you know, that aren't grey. I'm getting herbs that I can level my alchemy with. And then as I approached, the high 30s, well, actually mid 30s, because you can't learn your artisan skill, the 225 to 300, until you get to level 35.
Mm.
But the very next recipe you learn after that at 230 requires purple lotus. And the only place that purple lotus is found is in Fellwood, which is level 45 to 50.
Or where you'll be laying dead for a lot of the time.
Exactly. But so, you know, I really struggled, you know, looking at my alchemy recipes, trying to figure out which ones I could get level up off, which herbs I could do that with, and picking a herb that either wasn't grey because I didn't want to be hanging around and not leveling herbalism, you know, or wasn't in a zone that, you know, meant that I was going to be dying the whole time, or that, you know, I couldn't yet pick that herb.
Mm.
And pretty much it's impossible. You really can't, you know, it has to lag behind. And that example there where, you know, you need purple lotus and it's only in Fellwood. So basically now from 35 until my high 40s, I can't do anything with alchemy. Yeah, unless I go and buy Purple Lotus or yeah. You know, something like it off the auction house. And yeah, that's what I was saying before, where you know people are going to want to pay to get to max out their professions, because you go to the auction house and look for Purple Lotus, you know, people know that. People know that Purple Lotus is this big hump, and you know they're up there for 10 gold a piece.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. So yeah. I really feel like I don't have the answer for them, but I really feel like they need to do something to fix that situation so that the, you know, things like herbalism and alchemy and, you know, mining and blacksmith actually work for you at level, as you're leveling, you know, especially given the leveling experience now where you're not going to every zone and you're not spending, you know, hours upon hours in one zone, because, you know, you do a dozen quests and all the quests are green and you know, there's no point.
Yeah, you want to get out.
So, I suppose the trouble is,
the way they're fixing it is not fixing your problem. They're fixing it by letting people who are level 90 or level 85 going into Pandaland being able to pick or mine what they feel like and still get points that they wouldn't have to have had done in Old World.
Yeah, but then you can't do anything to 85. I mean, so long gone, I think, are the days where it's possible and makes sense to level a gathering and a main profession as the leveling process. I mean, it doesn't feel good to me that their solution is, well, wait till you get to 85 and then it'll be easy.
Yeah. Soon I think it will be wait until your garrison gets you through it.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. Maybe that's
wait until you farm.
Yeah. Maybe that's their intention. Maybe you use your garrison to help level you up and doing stuff like that.
I can see particularly the people who will then change their professions depending upon what is the zeitgeisty thing to do. I can see garrisons playing a large part in that.
Mm. You're probably right there, mate. Probably right.
Interesting times ahead for the professional.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see how it pans out anyway.
Hmm.
And this week we also had a couple of runs in our Warlocks Guild. We're up to doing Alderman. And there was kind of three and a half of us. Poor old Matter. Matter has been playing all day. WoW had been fine. We go, okay, let's do a run on our Warlocks, and his internet just turned to crap. And he's like got 10,000 millisecond latency. So there's like three and a half of us running Alderman, and I think we may have bitten off a bit more than we could chew in that dungeon with just three or four Warlocks. The mobs are actually packed pretty tight in there, and some panicked fears doesn't always help, doesn't always turn out well. So yeah, we did have a couple of wipes where
you're overwhelmed.
We got a bit overwhelmed, yeah. But we also had some pretty close calls that were a lot of fun as well. Still really enjoying that. There was some people.
You know, you're with a good group when the wipes are as funny as the successes.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. But and it's hard sometimes. I think Wingy thought, you know, because we come across a couple of packs where there's one elite and he's surrounded by half a dozen normals. So you know, we send our voidies in on the elite and we just rain a fire down all the normals, and then he charged into a pack and then went and pulled this other big golem thing, and we're like, hang on a minute, they're all elite. Yeah,
no,
this isn't going to turn out well.
Run away.
but we got there. We finished it. Got there in the end. Last boss was interesting. You know, remember? I don't know if you remember the last boss in Alderman. It's a big golem,
it's a big woman.
All the mobs are around the circle, come to life, one after the other. Yeah. And we're like, nah, they're just going to overwhelm us. So we'll just ignore those and focus on the boss. Fear them. Good old fear. And yeah, we got him down. So that was a lot of fun.
With all these CC changes, I wonder.
Oh man, the warlock fear. No. You can't touch the warlock fear, man. Whew. Mm. Sacrosanct. And then yesterday I tried the silliest thing ever and ended up having to call for help. And the call for help was answered by yours truly and others.
Yeah.
I decided I'd see whether I could solo Flame Leviathan in Alduar so that I could then solo some other bosses to get some gear for my level 80 warrior for Herald of the Titans. And it took me about, I don't know, I was watching Supernatural at the same time, so time went by. But it was probably well over half an hour to actually clear all the trash up to Flame Leviathan. And I died about three times doing it because the little bloody dudes just keep pouring out of the towers until you kill the towers. Yeah. And I couldn't kill them fast enough. You know, I tried a couple of the different vehicles that you can get there. But, I got them down eventually and then got up to the Flame Leviathan. And even if there's two of you, because I was dual boxing it, but my warrior at level 80 in crap gear couldn't do anything. But if you get two people in the vehicle, then at least you can chuck the pyrite. But yeah, when there's no one else to pick on, and Flame Leviathan comes over and starts pounding you, turns out it doesn't matter what vehicle you're in or how great your gear is. He's pretty much, I won't say impossible because maybe it's been done, but extremely difficult, shall we say, to solo on a level 90. It's not, you know, I haven't run raids or anything on this 90, so he's basically type missile gear.
So whatever gear you've got is reflected in the health of vehicle.
The health of the vehicle, exactly. Yep.
Ah, okay.
Mm. And I was doing it in, to be fair also, I was doing it in 25-man mode. I probably should have tried it in 10-man mode first to see how difficult that was. But anywho, I decided, okay, well, clearly I'm not going to solo him. It was only an hour before shutdown. We've got some Clan of Darkness people online. Let's see if I can get some help. So Leader and Bemo... and was Cloggy there as well? I forget.
No.
And you said
Bemo and me.
And you said, do you need any more help? I said, yeah, of course we do. More the merrier. So off we went.
Although you wouldn't take my level 10 hunter, which I find, you know, pretty offensive. He was all ready to go. Mm. Old Jepski. He was all ready. He's like, yes.
All right. I'm off to Alduar. I would have taken him, but I don't think he would have got in through the door.
No.
Mm, never mind.
I think he would have slipped on the ice outside and broke his neck.
So I figured, okay, well, this, you know, easy peasy. There's now a whole bunch of us. There's like a total of 4.5 people here. So, you know, how hard could it be? So while I'm waiting for the rest of you to turn up, I went out there on the motorcycle and all along the wall that comes up when you activate Flame Leviathan, there's all this pyrite on the ground. And you can actually pick it up with a motorcycle with its grappling hook and drop it somewhere else. So I knew it was going to be on the other side of the force field. So I spent all my time picking up all the pyrite and moving it inside and piling it up inside the room so that when I jumped in the, which one is it? The Demolisher? That's the other one. Mm. Forget.
Is it the Demolisher?
When I jumped in the vehicle that uses the pyrite, and yes, the Demolisher, because you were all in the Bashy Bashies.
The Rammers.
The Rammers.
I'm sure they're called something else.
So I figured with the three of you ramming him, he'll pick on you, and I'll just chuck pyrite at him. I've got a whole bunch of pyrite here. So I go, okay, no worries. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go. And you all rammed at him. I chucked the pyrite at him, and he went, oh, hello. And and immediately focused on me. So I emptied all my pyrite and then flicked to my other screen with my other character to pick up the pyrite that I dragged inside, and it was all gone.
Gone?
Gone. Yeah. So all
bugger nicked it.
Yeah, all that. It looked like the only pyrite that sticks around is pyrite that you shoot down from the sky. The pyrite that's on the ground. Nah, can't have that.
Because when I arrived, you were going back and forth. I didn't know what you were doing, going back and forth on that bike.
Yeah.
What's he doing? Not that I knew it was going to do. I had no idea about the mechanics of that particular fight.
I needed all that blue stuff to shoot pyrite at him, because that's what does all the damage to him.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, oh, no. So then I'm quickly trying to shoot down pyrite out of the sky so I can get some pyrite back while he's chasing you guys around. And I was having real trouble focusing and targeting that stuff.
It was very funny.
I'd shoot down a couple and I'd race over to it and pick it up and toss some more pyrite at him. And he's like 90%, 85%, and 80%. And of course he's running after you guys. And every time he charged somebody, he'd catch up to you and your health was gone. 60%, 50%, 40%, 30%.
Well, first of all, I had Lita going, Jeppy, run away! Bemo, run away!
And Bemo was on his 80 as well. He was on his 80 chamois. So, his health wasn't super. So Bemo was the first one to bite the dust. And he died, fell out of his vehicle and was basically one shot.
It's nasty.
Yeah, that was a bit nasty. And I'm still trying to get the pyrite, and he's like 50%, 45%. And then I look up and Jeppy's like bang, bang, bang. And oh no, look out. There goes Jeppy. He's dead.
Killed me, Pat.
Killed you. He's down to about 20% and he's chasing after Leader, and I'm going, I need more pyrite. And Leader's screaming that I'm going to die. And her vehicle died, and she's on a level 90 death knight. So I'm thinking, oh, at least the level 90 death knight, you know, that's going to have some health. She won't die straight away. I think it probably, probably took about 3 or 4 hits at her, and she's dead. Like, oh, crap, we're down to about 10%. I'm still madly trying to get the pyrite at him. And of course, now I'm the only one that he can go for. So he's charging me, and I couldn't go anywhere. So he's like 9%, 8%, and I'm ramming him and firing both buttons as fast as I can. He's like 6%, 5%, 4%. And then finally my vehicle dies and I'm like, oh shit. No. And I'm on my death knight. So I jump into blood spec and I use all my cooldowns and stick up my bones and I'm hitting buttons left, right, center. 3%, 2%. My health's going down and I'm like, oh, well, I get my undead out. I've got time to get an army. It's like 1%. I'm like, he's dead.
it was so
exciting. Close. Oh my God. Yeah. That was like the most exhilarating kill of anything that I've had in a
meanwhile, of course, the server's about to close down.
Yeah.
As well. So we've got that ticking away. You know, it was relatively late on in the fight that I realized that you basically had to be inside him for your ramming to do any good.
Oh, okay.
I'm sort of like I was coming up behind him and giving him a little ram.
Bit of a tap on the side.
So I probably didn't do as much damage as I should have done.
But
it was good loot-wise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and you were an engineer, so you get to deconstruct him. And
yeah, I'm glad I did that.
I got a couple of rings, and Bemo got... what it was now. He got a nice piece for his chamois as well.
Something nice and purple. Mm. Yeah, I got Jeeves, the recipe for Jeeves.
Oh, that's right. You did, yeah.
I'm impressed by that. Because, of course, I'm all pretending to be happy about like, going out and helping you, but, you know, I wasn't happy. I was like, oh, you know, I'm trying to level these hunters, you know. Jeez. But I made out like a bandit.
Should have given me a bit of, come on, I've just started to refer a friend. You know I'm not going to do anything else.
If it wasn't in the early days. Mm. I did tweet that I don't feel complete unless I have a refer friend ticking away, a neglected refer friend ticking away in the back.
Yeah.
So, It was good. It was, yeah, and,
it was a lot of fun.
It's those moments. It's one of those moments in WoW that you remember, even though on the whole scale of things, the fact that you went in and helped Flame Leviathan when you were already well beyond that level, but the whole feeling of it. And that's now one of those fights. It doesn't matter, does it? No. Because the mechanics
are just really limit you. You just can't go and do it. So
that's very good. Yeah.
But clearly I have bitten off more than I could chew, because I went back in there today and extended the lockout and tried to do another boss. And I can't solo those bosses in 25 man on my level 90 Death Knight. or more to the point, I probably could, but it would take me about an hour per fight. My blood DK regenerates his health fairly nicely, but those bosses have got far too much health compared to the DPS that I was doing. So next week I'll try the 10-man lockout and see how I go.
Yeah, Sounds like you should have probably done that in the first place.
Yes.
Because at the end of that fight, we were like, "Hell, were you even planning to solo this?" Was that even in your mind at any stage?
I didn't know. It was.
He's a mean bugger, though. He's a mean bugger.
Yeah.
And he's really chucking miss. It really is a very good fight. Very good fight.
Mm.
Yeah. Yes. I was well impressed.
Indeed. So I think maybe I'll. Maybe I should probably start running myself through the three ICC dungeons, because the gear that drops in there is valid for Herald of the Titans as well. It's not quite as good as what drops in Old War, but certainly a lot better than what he's running at the moment. And I probably wouldn't spend hour upon hour per boss trying to get my way through there.
So once you've done, is it Trial of the Titans? What's the thing you're trying to?
Herald of the Titans.
Herald of the Titans. Mm. Any plans to level this dude to 90?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. To be honest, I'm probably a bit premature, because I don't even know if this is the character that I will do Herald of the Titans on. I mean, it's my only one that's at 80 at the moment, so I'll leave it there until I get something else at 80 that I feel more comfortable playing with.
I think you're confusing Bemo, because some people are saying, just push on to 90, and you're yelling, no, wait, get rid of your XP. He's only got one on that particular realm, on Elven Ring, so it's a bit unfair to ask him to leave it.
on Horde, maybe if we all chuck him a few bucks, he could faction change one of his alliance.
I ain't doing that.
But, it's a keeper turn at 80, because it's something fun to do.
I'll see if I can have one for next week.
Yeah, you'll go, I've got 10 level 80 hunters. or are you just going to take them to 60 and leave them there, because then they'll be veterans?
I don't know. Yeah, see, I still don't know. I don't know. The world is my oyster, as they say.
Decisions.
Yeah, I'll probably just watch TV and procrastinate till the last couple of weeks of WAF, and then just do the old usual, and then beg Blizzard to take... Actually, they've said in their reply, this is really the last time.
We've red flagged your account.
This is really the last time. Yeah. So I really do need to actually get some cards on this account.
Mm-hmm. All right, will you get stuck into that?
I will do.
And I'm going to go and get stuck into probably some more rogue action.
Now, we did discuss before the show that we would need some sort of sign-off, because as we've explained in the past, we kind of stagger out of these shows. We're kicking the door behind us as we go. What did you do? You went...
The door just slowly creaks behind us as we give a lame wave over our shoulders.
So have you come up with anything?
Maybe we should make it a competition.
What would you say?
Lots
of offensive things.
Yeah. How can we
thank you very much.
Sign out of the show. Maybe we should. Are you not going to know what that is? I was about to say maybe we should sing the theme song from Young Talent Time, but you probably got no idea what that is.
No, nor does 99% of people listen.
I know. Lita will be jumping up and down in a chair, going, "Oh, I remember that! I remember that!" She'll be the only one.
Only one.
Yeah.
So we've done it again. We're staggering out of here.
We are, aren't we? All right. We're going to.
You say something smart. And we'll
I'll say something smart and witty and like something that is a natural conclusion to a conversation, and then we can just roll on out of here. Like, you are.
What? I'm going to say, this is Jeppy. May all your hits be crits. I shall see you next week. Bye.
You can't have that one. No.
Why?
No.
Is that somebody else?
Oh, that's just like the second most.
You know, may all your hits
you
be crits.
Yeah. You might as well say, may your swords never dull. I mean, come on.
May your swords never dull. This is Jeppy. I'll see you next week.
All right, then. You can have that one. Bye. You've just skipped to the end of Wow Geekly. Well, hopefully you didn't skip all the way and enjoyed something of what we said this week. If so, let us know. If not, let us know that too. How, you ask? Well, you're all clever and discerning people and can probably take a darn good guess, but I'll spell it out anyway. Find us on the interwebs at wowgeekly.com. Or over on Twitter, where, wait for it, at Wow Geekly. Follow the lads directly on at Desheo and at LJeppy. Or, if you have a hankering to write us more than 140 characters, email us, wowgeekly@gmail.com. Please subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher, or if you're really into oversubscribing, do both. Upload complete.